Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have been studying basically about the last days. We started by talking about the Bible, how it had always been under attack since the beginning of the fall of man. The devil had always wanted man to doubt the veracity of God's word. Was that not what he did at the Garden of Eden before there was sin in Adam and Eve? Yea, hath God said. And that had never stopped. In fact, it had increased in intensity and has spread so fast and so far and so wide because of modern technology. There was a time when the word of God was kept from people. This lasted more than 1,000 years. Protestant church historians call that the Dark Ages, because the Roman Catholic Church refused to allow anyone to translate the Bible into the vernacular language of the people. To do so means you are breaking their law, and they control Europe at the time. And therefore, if you are caught, you will die. And so many of them paid for it with their lives, and the most famous of course would have to be William Tyndale, the first man to translate the Word of God from Hebrew and Greek, the original languages that God used to inspire His Holy Word, into the English language. 80% of what he did is found in our King James Bible. And when the printing press was invented in the 15th century, the devil realized that he could no longer keep the word of God from the people, because suddenly books are now cheaply printed and distributed. In the past, every book had to be hand-copied, handwritten. And so he realized that he could not keep the word from the people anymore. Since the 16th century Reformation, you realize that books and the Bibles have become very affordable to the people. And so at the turn of the 19th century, the devil raised up two men, Westcott and Hort, to dilute the Bible. And ever since then, all modern translations of the Word of God in the English language, which is our focus because this is an English-speaking congregation, is under the control of Westcott and Hort, even though they are long dead and gone, and their bones have been turned to ashes. Why do we say that? Because they use their philosophy and the assumptions and the arguments as the basis for deciding which Hebrew and Greek text to use for their translation. Even though you may have the best translators employing the best techniques, but if you use the bad, corrupted text, corrupt Hebrew text, corrupt Greek text, the outcome will be very, very diabolical. And that's exactly what happened. Today we have more than 100 translations of the Word of God in the English language. And some of them, most of them, they are all spawned by Westcott and Hort, who are both of them unbelievers, even though they may be church leaders in the Anglican Church. But they were unbelievers because of their lives, because of what they started, the Ghost Club, because of what they did in their lives. And once the Bible is diluted, because when you read a corrupt, weak translation, what do you think will be the outcome? Let's say you are born again. We know that a person can be born again by simply reading a children's Bible, even a piece of tract. Let's say you are born again, and if you are using a translation that is corrupt, that has a lot of shortcomings, you are not able to grow spiritually. You're not able to grow in a manner whereby your testimony and your witness for Christ will be effective. How do I know this? Because I was one of them when I was in my previous church. 7 years in my previous church, from the day I was born again in that church until I came out. I never realized that the things that they taught me were incorrect until I went into FEBC. Then I realized I have to unlearn so much before the truth could enter into my thinking, into my life, so that I could live correctly. Many things that you are hearing and listening, especially for the second generation believers when you were a child. Do you know that many churches out there do not even have them? I came from such a church, and today when I look at that church, 20 years later, it has gotten from bad to worse. Now they have bands and drums. The last time I was there, the pastor who preached at the wedding, because my nephew got married and so we attended, I wanted to see what it was like. It was a disaster. He hardly preached the word of God. He walked back and forth, not with the mic that is on the pulpit, as if he was some kind of a guest speaker in some kind of a forum out in the world, walking back and forth, making jokes, behaving like a comedian rather than a pastor, instead of using the word of God to counsel and help them begin their lives as husband and wife. He used movies. "May the force be with you," was how he ended his sermon to tell my nephew and his new wife. And some of the things he did are completely, completely shameful, unbecoming of a Christian. Don't talk about a pastor. And that is exactly what we see Christianity has become. Once you dilute the word of God, you dilute the view of the people regarding who God is. And that's how the charismatic could take root and bear so many fruits. Charismatism did not exist until 1906. And now you look at it 100+ years later. They cover the face of the earth. They become the new face of Christianity because of their mega churches. And in 1948, the World Council of Churches was born. All these were able to succeed because of the dilution of the Word of God. The Word of God is always the key that will prevent the devil from accomplishing his evil. Once the Word of God is set aside, your mind and my mind are helpless against his cunning devices. He is the father of lies. That means every form of lying and deception originates from him. So you think that you use your own mind, you can be wiser than him? You think your IQ, even though you are the most brilliant man on earth, you are helpless against him because your IQ is only good for the things of the world. Your IQ is only good for the things of nature. Your IQ is completely useless and helpless in the spiritual realm. You don't believe me? All you need to do is to look at the Roman, the charismatic churches. You have people who are multi-millionaire, if not billionaires, with very high IQ and very well-educated and very capable in managing their multi-billion dollar company. And when they go to these kind of churches, they are told, all right, you open your mouth, you roll your tongue, and you utter gibberish, and you are actually talking to God. They believe. You don't know what you're talking about. You have this stranger telling you that you are talking to God. How does he know? He doesn't know what you are saying. And what you say, you don't know what you're saying. You can't even be evaluated from God's word. And then he tells you you're talking to God and you believe. They believe. You think this is something flesh and blood? This is spiritual. The only way to explain how so many millions of people all over the world, very clever, very educated, doing silly things in the name of Christ, deceive into telling them that you are talking to God when in reality they know you're talking to nobody. You're no different from a baby who is making some sound. But that's a baby. You are not a baby, and yet you are a grown person and you are uttering nonsense out of your mouth, and the person tells you you're talking to God and you believe. The only way that you can be wiser than the devil is to know the Bible. How come? Because this is God's word. To know the Bible means you have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the mind of God. And no matter how evil and how cunning the devil is, he is still a creature. He will never be smarter than God. He can never outwit God. Because once you have the mind of Christ and the Bible is in you, you will have the mind of God. And the mind of God is the only mind that will not be duped and deceived by the devil. You know that. You have experienced it. And so when you and I look at the end of the world, please realize that what the Bible is revealing to us is God telling us what I'm going to do in the future. And what you see happening in this world, I have already prophesied that 2,000 years ago. Now I know, God says, the world is not going to believe what I reveal to them because they have refused to accept Christ. And so I'm telling my children who calls me Heavenly Father. So prophecies concerning the last days are targeting only God's children because they are the only ones who care, the only ones who are able to see, because they have truly believed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They are the ones who will call God Abba, Father. And therefore, as God's children, God says, they are the ones that I'm going to tell. Because they are the only ones who care enough, who are able to see and understand and live their present life accordingly. Because that's exactly what God wants. God doesn't want us to just simply give Him lip service. Yes, Heavenly Father, but then your life is not changed. That kind of verbal assent, God says, you are mocking Him. You are provoking Him to anger. Don't do that. Don't do that. How will the world end? Look at what is happening in our world. We have the face of terrorism that never existed until 9/11, right? Because in the past, every warfare is very easy to delineate because they all have their own different military uniform. If you're not in the front line, in the battlefield, you feel relatively safe in your own country, in your own homes, unless you go out of your homes into the battlefield. But since 9/11, the whole world is a battlefield. The enemy dresses like everyone else. You can't tell where they are. What do you think is happening to our world? What is happening to our world is people are becoming very frightened of death. They're very, very afraid to go out because no place is safe anymore. You can't take a bus and feel safe. You can't go to school. You can't go shopping. You can't even walk along the streets and feel safe in some countries. The psyche of man has changed forever, and what they long for in time to come will be a desperate need for peace. And they are prepared to do anything to get back some peace in their psyche. And what that means is we are prepared to sacrifice our sovereignty if needful, if necessary, if that's what it takes. What's the point of holding on to our national anthem and our flags and our currency and our national identity if we do not have peace? And that's how the Antichrist will conquer, riding on a white horse carrying a bow with no arrows, using peace to conquer. Revelation chapter 6. And that is going to be the start of the Great Tribulation. The moment his identity is revealed, we studied that last time. When the rapture takes place, the identity of the son of perdition, the man of sin, the beast, the Antichrist, so many titles given to him, he will be revealed. That's the beginning of the Great Tribulation, which will last 7 years. And during this period, the wrath of God will be unleashed from the second 3.5 years onwards. There will be 3.5 years of relative peace as the Antichrist will establish his empire, his global empire and his kingdom. And many believers will be killed during that time. Those believers who came to know Christ during the Great Tribulation, that means they will miss the rapture. Only believers now, before the rapture, will be taken up. And then the world will now be without a church witness, because the only church that remains is known as the harlot church. That means the rapture is the end of the ecclesiastical or church witness. It started in Pentecost. Rapture is the end of the church witness. And then during the 7 years of Great Tribulation, God says, I will send my two witnesses. One of them is Elijah. And then once the wrath of God is unleashed upon this earth, this world will become unlivable. You can read that in Revelation, the trumpet judgments and the vile judgments. All the waters on earth will be turned into blood. All the seas will be turned into blood. All the green vegetation, every blade of grass will be burned. This whole world will be unlivable. Why did God have to do that? Because God wanted the people to turn to Christ. The two miracles, one of them is Elijah. They're going to do miracles on earth that the world has never seen before to counter the counterfeit miracles of the Antichrist and the false prophet, which God says they are going to do in Revelation 13. Hoping that more and more people will come to know Christ before the world ends. The world will end. How will it end? The passage that we are going to look at is Revelation 19. This is the last moment of the 7 years of Great Tribulation, or the last moment of the world as we know it since Noah's time. The world is our home given to man by God, and it was very good, perfect, before there was sin. When man fell into sin, God says, I cannot allow sinful men to enjoy this world. They need to work hard, because the harder they work, the less time they have to do their evil. That's why we have thorns and thistles on earth. When you are busy making a living, you will have less time for sinful things, right? Idle mind, devil's workshop. So those who have nothing to do, they are the people who are most prone to stumble and fall into sin. Those people who are busy doing something that is concrete, that is worthwhile, they will have less time to think of evil, even today. And in those days before the flood, the people were allowed to live 800-900 years. This body can last 800-900 years. Imagine if you are a rapist and you have 800-900 years to do your evil deed. If you're a murderer, imagine the kind of damage that you could do. And that's why within 1,600 plus years, the perfect world of God was became so bad that during the Noah's flood, only 8 souls were safe in that world. So corrupt was the world where man was permitted to live 800-900 years because of their evil. They corrupted the world so badly that God had to come in and stop man from his sin. And so God destroyed that world with water, giving man a brand new start with 8 souls. Adam and Eve, 2 souls. Now 8 souls. Noah, his 3 sons, and their wives. 8 of them. And God told them, now you multiply and replenish and cover the earth again. And this time God says, I can't let man live 800-900 years. I have to reduce their lifespan by tenfold. And that's why 70 years and 10. By reason of strength, add another 10 more. And that, God says, I have to apply this across the border for everyone. I cannot say, well, my children, they can live 800-900 years. But all who are unbelievers, 70 years and 10. What do you think will happen? Everybody will suddenly become a believer, right? Because they think that by living here on earth is a very good thing. And so God says that has to be applied across the board. So everyone, believer or unbeliever alike, 70 years and 10. And that's fine. That's fine. Because we know that as children, going home is far better. Going home to be with our Heavenly Father is far better. If you are born again, if you are living a life of holiness and godliness. And so God says, since the end of the flood, replenish and multiply. And that means, hopefully, man can multiply that 1,600 years by tenfold, since God reduced our lifespan by 10, right? So from Noah's time, we should be able to dwell on earth for at least 16,000 years, right? Times 10. But tragically, sadly, no. From Noah's time until now, maybe 4,000, 5,000, that's it. And you look at our world today, it is like the world of Noah. It's like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Homosexuality will cover the face of the earth just as fornication has. They are going to succeed. You and I can resist, but you're not going to stop it from becoming a reality. Our responsibility is to snatch our loved ones and friends out of it. We can't stop the movement. The movement will come. Why? Because our Heavenly Father tells us so. This world is a hopeless world. The only way you can get out of this hopeless world is in Christ. Not be a member of this church. In Christ. The only way to get out of the ecumenical movement is to be in Christ. Make sure of your salvation. A member of this church is not the same as a member in heaven. You need to have your name written in the book of life, not in the directory of Calvary Pandan. Please, that one is not the same. I hope you know that. I hope you really know that. Revelation 19 is the culmination of what happens on earth. Now this is our Heavenly Father telling His children. If you say, yeah, I'm not interested. You are not saying, yeah, not interested to me. You are saying, yeah, I'm not interested to God. They are not my words, they are His words. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. He will never tell lies. Whatever he says, he will make sure that it comes to pass. That's why the Lord took these two amazing attributes and characteristics to describe Christ. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. These are diadems, not Stephanos. Stephanos are the kind of crowns that you win after a race. Diadems are crowns that belong to royalty. You are born into it. That's why they're called diadem. This is diadem. Stephanos is the crown that the devil has. Revelation 13, the beast has many crowns. Stephanos are the kind that you earn in Olympics, for example. He has many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew, but he himself knew. Whatever that name is, we do not know. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. He's here to judge. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. There will be angels and all the raptured and resurrected saints in the glorified body upon a white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. This is how the world will end. The heavens will open. The judge will return. What judge? The judge who first came as the Savior, as the Lamb of God to save. If you do not want to be saved from your sin, from the penalty of sin, which is death and hell, this is the judge that you're going to face. He is not telling you a lie. He is faithful and true. He is telling you the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You believe me right now because I'm still here as the Savior. But the moment I appear and the clouds of heaven open, the moment I appear, the whole world sees me, they can't shout Hosanna, which means save me. They definitely cannot shout, praise the Lord, because there's nothing to praise about the Lord because He's coming to judge you. Day of salvation is done. In other words, the moment the clouds open, everyone will remain in the state and condition as they are. If you are evil and wicked, that's what you're going to be, evil and wicked, because the day of salvation is done. And if you're a child of God and you are good, because there will be some who will believe during the great tribulation by God's grace and mercies, they will remain children of God. And they are the ones who will enter into the millennium after Christ recreated this earth and made it into something similar to the time of Adam and Eve, where man will live like trees, and you and I know that trees will never stop growing. That means they're going to be given the privilege to live 800-900 years again, for 1,000 years, in the millennium. But we are talking about the end of this earth, just like there was an end of the earth in Noah's time. There will be an end of this earth, as we know it, with all its many nations. It will come to an end where all that you know will be completely destroyed. Every island will disappear, including Singapore and the largest island, Australia. That's the destruction of the last days. And the Lord Jesus Christ will come as judge. And this time, He makes no mistakes when He judges. You must know this. Please understand, this time it's going to be global. He is not coming to save anymore. This time is no longer a lamb that is led to the slaughter, a weakling. He is not going to come as a weakling because He is coming as a judge. He's coming as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He's known as the Word of God. That's how important the Word of God is. The Word of God. That's why you never, never have a low view of God's Word. Do you know that those who say the Bible has mistakes, you and I think that it's a small thing? Don't let the devil dupe you, deceive you. You say the Bible has mistakes. You are saying that God makes mistakes. Only sinners make mistakes. When they say the Bible has mistakes, they are basically saying that God is a sinner like you and me. Do you realize that? Regardless of big mistakes or small mistakes, it's a mistake. A mistake is a mistake. A mistake is an error. It's a fault. They are saying that God makes mistakes. That means God is like you and me, a sinner. How could that ever be? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Psalm 19 verse 7. Show me one verse where God Himself admits that my word has mistakes. Zero. Because God is perfect and has given to us a perfect word. Don't be deceived, dear friend. You have a low view of God's word, you have a low view of God. And a low view of God means you have a low view of worship, you have a low view of Christian life, you have a low view of everything Christian. And that results in a terrible witness and testimony if you are born again. If you are not born again, you will never live that way. You will never behave that way. People who attack the Bible, they are listening to the voice of the devil. Do you realize that? Because the devil had never stopped attacking the Bible. How do we know that? The Bible tells us, the serpent, yea, had God said, attacking the word, and has never stopped till now. Because he knows the only people who can outsmart him, who will not be deceived by him, are believers who have the word of God in them. That's why he hates it. Because he can never deceive you. But if you are deceived, you better be very careful whether you are safe or not safe. Because the Spirit of God will not allow you to be deceived. Don't play the fool, because we're living in perilous times. We're living in a time where Christianity is more false than true. In the period of the persecution, the first 300 years when the church was born, the church was pure because of the fire of persecution. Soon after the 16th century Reformation, you have the Puritans. Christianity at that time was more true than false. But the Christianity of the last days, the Bible tells us, it has fallen away. There will be a generation of people who call themselves Christians, but they are not really born again. How do you know you are born again? A born again believer will always have a longing to hear God's voice, right? Because you are a child of God and you want to hear the voice of your parent. You look at our children. You look at all these young children. When they are frightened, when they are scared, who do you think they run to? Strangers or mom and dad? Mom and dad. When you are born again, in Christ, you call Him Abba, Father. What does that mean? That means you don't want to go through a day without hearing His voice. That means you love the Bible. That means you read the Bible. That means you can understand the Bible, because the Spirit of God helps you to understand the Bible. And not only understand it, you will also follow it up by obedience, whereby your life will be lived according to the Word of God. And you'll cry to God for help, because you know you are weak. You know that sometimes you cannot do it, even though you have a desire to obey every jot and tittle of God's word, but you struggle. And so you plead with God, God help me, and God will help you. Time and time again, He will never stop helping you, because this is exactly what He wants to do in every believer's life. To help us obey God's word, to give us the strength to obey God's word step by step, step by step, step by step. That's how you make sure of your salvation. That's why it is very, very concerning to all of us as leaders. Very, very deep concern. When our people have no desire for God's word, you're satisfied with only Sunday. Not interested in church Bible study. Not interested in sunset. Not interested in fellowship. Not interested in Bible study groups. Not interested. That's my worry as a pastor for this congregation. That's my main concern. Because we love the world more than we love the things of God. And the Bible tells us the love of the world, if you have it in your heart, the love of the Father is not in you. Do you know there's a Bible passage that warns us? If the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not in you. Do you know that? You cannot have it both ways. You cannot on Sunday morning, I love God. The rest of the time, I love the world. Where do you find that kind of Christianity? It doesn't exist. There is no such children of God in the Bible who are like that. Once you are born again, you are born again forever. You're going to be a child of God forever. If you have no desire for God's word, please go back to square one and check your salvation and ask God to, Lord, please help me, Lord. What's wrong with me? Please create in me a thirst and a hunger for God's word. Why do you think the Bible is described as the milk and meat to our soul? God used an appropriate term, milk and meat, because he says that everyone who is a child of God is born again alive. And therefore, every living people will need milk and meat to keep themselves alive, right? So he's using something that you and I go through every day, physical body. The only person that is not interested in milk and meat is a person who is dead. He can't drink, he can't eat. Dead person. Dead person. There are those who are sick, yes. They want to, but they can't. Do you want to? Do you have a desire for God's word? Because the Lord says, I'm coming and I'm going to be called the word of God. Do you think that is an accident? That is deliberate to let us know how important the word of God is. Jesus Christ says, I'm coming and it is called the word of God. In the name of the word of God, where is it found? The Bible. The Bible. And those who will come with him, his armies. Raptured saints, resurrected saints, and the good angels. And what are they coming for? Verse 15 to verse 18. The judge will return, and all sinners will be judged. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that is the word of God. Right? The only thing that comes out of his mouth is the word. And that with it, he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he will tread the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. That means no sinner will escape. They will be thoroughly 100% judged by him, because he will send his two witnesses to do amazing miracles. The wrath of God will be unleashed upon this earth so that the people of the world will never see the world as a place of hope. That's why God destroyed the water, destroyed the sea, destroyed every tree, every grass, every bush, destroyed the sun and the moon to let men know that this world is hopeless. The world continue to be seen by the people of the world as a hopeful world. Save Mother Earth. Do whatever we can. Save Mother Earth. This is our only home. There is no planet out there. Only Mother Earth. Hope is in Christ. The danger is the devil. The danger is sin in your life. You need to find a solution for sin in your life so that when you die, you don't die in sin, because hell awaits all sinners who die in sin. And God says, I don't desire to see anyone end up in hell. That's why I send my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you, to save you. The world is hopeless. That's why he kept on telling us, the world is hopeless. Don't love the things of the world. It will destroy you. It will take away and rob you of your time and your energy and your life in the pursuit of vanity. Only in Christ. Only in Christ. And that's why, parents, pray for your children's salvation. Don't push them toward excellence on paper. Push them toward excellence in their walk with Christ. That's how you must direct them. And to do that, you have to be also excellent in Christ. Otherwise, you can't. You don't know how. And you will be a very bad hypocrite, because the children see carnality and you push me to Christ when you drive yourself to the world. Don't do that. Only Christ can people find salvation and deliverance. The world is prepped for destruction by fire. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God. These are all vouchers. And that ye may eat the flesh of what? Kings, captains, mighty men, horses, of them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free and born, small and great. No escape for anyone. Everyone, from kings to beggars, men and children, women, everyone, every strata of society, all included in the judgment except those who are in Christ. This is the end of the world. This is going to happen to every sinner that you know in your world as well. This is what's going to happen. The ecumenical movement will become a reality. Get out of it. Don't become part of it. Many churches are in it. Many BP churches are also in it by way of the back door because they encourage their members to support many parachurch groups that are official members of the World Council of Churches, such as the Navigators, such as the VCF, such as Campus Crusade for Christ. They are all official members of the World Council of Churches. And if you send your members and encourage them to support these parachurch groups, you are supporting the World Council of Churches by the back door. You may not be official members, but you are also members by default because of your support for these parachurch groups. This is our Christian world, a fallen away Christian world. That means it is so hard to find Christ. It is so hard to live a holy life because everyone around you, they are not, and they call themselves Christians. And so you might be deceived into thinking that, well, they are Christians and they love the world, they are carnal, so it must be okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. We live in a world where fornication is accepted. Does that mean that it is okay? We live in a world where adultery doesn't even cause a person to blink. No more shame. The stigma of shame is gone. So does that mean it's okay? It's not okay. Because that's the problem with the last days. That's the problem with Christianity that has fallen away. We're true, holy believers. Are hard to find. Will you be such a one for the sake of your family, friends, your world? They need to see the life of a truly born-again believer. So that when this child of God share the gospel, they are walking testimony of the glorious, amazing impact of the gospel in their lives. And that's what the world needs. That's what your world, that's what your children, your friend, your family members, your parents who are outside Christ, that's what they need to see the most. Not how brilliant you are, not how you can solve all their computer problems. All these things are avenues for you to show them Christ. Don't let them see you, how smart you are. Let them see how good a Savior you have. That's what you must do. The days of witnessing are numbered. There are not many days left. Please remember this. The world is changing so fast. You think this president of America who came into power is an accident? He is turning the world upside down in a manner that the world has never seen before because he's not a politician. And he is a businessman and he is put into the most powerful and influential seat our world has ever seen. And he is turning everything literally upside down, right? And then with Brexit knocking on the EU door, and then with the President of America taking himself out of NATO and so many of these global bodies that think that we can just simply exist the way we are. He is making everybody have a completely review of their position. I cannot remember which leader of which EU country said, I think it's about time that we have our own army. Right now, they don't have a one army. They have a one currency. They have no borders, but they don't have one army. Imagine what Europe will be like if they have one general that will control all the armies of the EU countries. They are now toying with that idea because that's what I heard from BBC. We have to now learn to rise up and defend ourselves because America is coming out of NATO. What are we going to do? Because China and Russia, they are coming up, especially China. And so, these are all events that are global in nature and they will all culminate in the Antichrist. You just watch. So please, don't think that this world, with all its accolades, they are eternal. They are not. They are vanity. Only in Christ will they be eternal? Because if you are not in Christ and with Christ, you are in the devil and with the devil. There are only two options. And what will happen? They're going to fight against Christ. So if you're not for Christ, fighting the good fight of faith, earnestly contending for Christ, God says, you are on the side of the devil. And what will happen? I saw the beast, verse 19, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against whom? Against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Who sat on the horse? Christ. Whose army? The armies in verse 14 that came down with Christ from heaven. So basically it is a battle between Christ and the devil, Christ and his armies versus the devil and his armies led by the Antichrist and the false prophet. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image, described for us in Revelation 13. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. They are the only two human beings that will be cast into the lake of fire in this mortal flesh, implying what God is saying, that they are going to be more severely punished for eternity than any other human being on earth. No matter how evil Hitler was, no matter how evil many of all these despots were in the past, they will never come close to what the beast and the false prophets will do in terms of scale. Hitler, maybe Germans were deceived by him in the millions. But these antichrists and the false prophets, both of them, they're going to deceive billions of people all over the world. The antichrist will make the world think that he is Christ. The false prophet will do miracles in the name of the antichrist, energized by the devil. And they're going to get the whole world to kowtow and believe that the devil is God the Father, the antichrist is God the Son, and the false prophet is the Comforter, God the Holy Spirit. And billions will be deceived. Make sure you and I are not one of them. Make sure your family members and loved ones and friends are not one of them. Because the moment they have the mark of the beast, it's done. It's done. And they're going to fight against Christ and his armies, and they're going to be thoroughly defeated. These poor will be cast alive. And what about the rest? The remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. That means all of them will die, and they are going to be sent into hell. And then their bodies will be eaten up by all these vultures. Proceed out of his mouth, and all the fowls will fill with their flesh. This is going to be the end of every human being on earth. Sure, not everyone will be gathered at the Battle of Armageddon. This is the place. You've been to Israel? There is this very vast, flat piece of land called the Valley of Megiddo. And this is where the millions of soldiers will be gathered with the tanks and all the atomic weapons, and they're going to fight there against Christ and his army. That's why it's called the Battle of Armageddon, Mount Megiddo, because it is surrounded by many mountains. It's called the Jezreel Valley or the Valley of Megiddo. Many names because of all the mountains with names looking over this vast valley. Those of us who have been there, we have seen it, and it is huge, flat. And that's where the final battle will be fought. And then the blood that will be spilled will be so much that it will rise up to the horse's bridle. That means about 5 feet or more deep. Because it's surrounded by mountains, the blood will not be able to flow that fast. And they all will die. Because they are fighting against Christ and his armies, just as what you see today. But right now, it is very subtle. Right now, it is very, very dangerous. We're living in the last days. It's very dangerous because of the deception, the subtle deception, because of the ecumenical movement. Many people want peace at all costs, and they are prepared to sacrifice the truth for relationships. Is that not what we are seeing? Dear friend, your Heavenly Father tells you, the God of the Bible says, this is how the world will end. This is what I'm going to do, God says. This is what Christ, my only begotten Son, will do upon this earth. I sent him the first time to be the Savior to a world that is dying in sin. But this world cannot continue to exist the way it is. And when the sins of this world are full, my only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will return. And this time He's not going to come as the Savior. He's going to come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's going to judge this world. And all sinners will be judged. And those that were not at the battle of Armageddon to be destroyed by Him, the Lord will regather everyone. And then He will separate the sheep from the goats. And you'll find that in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to verse 34. The sheep and the goats. The sheep will be prepared to enter the millennium. The goats will be cast into hell. And that's when the world will finally end as we know it. And from that point onwards, human beings will not be permitted to rule this world ever again. Because in the millennium, Christ Himself will rule on earth. And at the end of the millennium, according to Revelation chapter 20, 1,000 years of Christ's reign on earth, this old earth and this heaven above will be completely destroyed. And then there will be the great white throne judgment, where hell will be emptied, death will be destroyed, no need for hell and death anymore, because from that point onwards, there will be no more human beings in this mortal flesh. Every human being will be given a body that is eternal. For believers, it's called the glorified body, and they will enter the new heaven and new earth for eternity. And what awaits them is the new capital city called New Jerusalem. But hell will also be emptied, and those who come out of hell will be given another kind of body, where the great white throne judgment, they will be judged, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire to join the devil, to join the beast, to join the false prophet. And that's where they're going to spend eternity in pain, in gnashing of teeth. Now, why would our Heavenly Father tell this? Is to tell us, His children. If you are going to be raptured and we are going to be spared this, yes, you're going to be spared all this. You're going to be taken. You're going to be raptured, caught up, God says. Then what's the point? You don't mind your loved ones, your children, to go through this? Because if they are not born again in Christ, that's exactly where they're going to end up. If your children are not born again and you are taken up, please understand what is in store for them. The 7 years of great tribulation, they are going to go through that. And they are children. And they are going to be deceived by the devil, the false prophet, the Antichrist. And they have the mark of the beast, and that's it. It's all over. Because when the judgment comes, the youngest to the oldest, the Bible said so. All, as long as they're old enough. We are talking about children after the age of accountability. They need to know Christ. They need to know Christ urgently than ever before. Parents, please beg God for mercy to save your children, to save your parents, to save your friends. Beg God for strength and wisdom to live for Christ in these last days. This is how the world will end. It is not for me. I don't have any power to make this a reality. God has. He created this world out of nothing. He is now telling us, not just the future, like a helpless weatherman telling us a typhoon is coming and he can't do anything to stop it. God is not a helpless weatherman telling us the future. He's not a helpless fortune teller. He is telling us this is what Heavenly Father is doing in the future. Please understand, I'm going to unleash my wrath, my judgment against this world, because this world has been duped by the devil, making them think that this world is home. This is Mother Earth. This earth did not give birth to them. I did. This is not Mother Earth. I did. Mother Earth is from the evolutionist. We evolve out of this earth. Mother Earth, right? We don't call it Mother Earth. This earth is not our mother. We came from God. God made us. Devil deceived the world into thinking that the hope is in this world. And that's why God has to destroy this world so that the generation during the 7 years of great tribulation will have their eyes open. This world has nothing to offer you except death and destruction. But in Christ, you have life everlasting. Eternity in the new heaven and new earth awaits you. But as long as you remain in sin, you can't enter heaven. Only Christ can get you out of sin. Please make sure of your salvation and make sure you have the evidence of salvation. And the best evidence of salvation is your thirst and hunger for God's word. Do you love God? Do you love His word? Do you understand His word? Do you obey His word? Because Jesus says, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. Please, dear friend, make sure of your salvation. Your God asks you this morning, will you? This world is hopeless. Don't live for this world anymore. The world has nothing to offer you. Please accept deception and death. But Christ is the only one who is the way, the truth, and the life. He that believeth in me will never die, Jesus says, but he will have life everlasting. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O God. May thy Holy Spirit bring conviction and cause all your children to see and to understand that they have just heard the voice of God Most High and not the word of man. And we pray, O Lord, that as your blood-bought children, we may all say amen to thy holy word, and help us, therefore, to live a life of holiness and godliness and always in righteousness according to Holy Scriptures, wherever we are. May we live only for our Savior in the pursuit of holiness. Create, O Lord, in us a thirst and a hunger for thy truth, for thy word. And may we be constrained by the love of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we live only for him. We pray, O Lord, for some who might be struggling with sin. May thy Holy Spirit speak to such a person's heart and cause that person to realize and understand what it means to be born again in Christ, and help that person to truly live only for Christ and use that person for thy glory at home, at work, in school, in church, wherever that person is. May that person truly remain steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as he knows that his labor is not in vain in the Lord Jesus Christ. Protect and defend thy church, O Lord, against the attacks of the evil one, so that Calvary Pandan will remain faithful and true to our Savior until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. A church where sinners can come and find salvation, where children of God can come and grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. May thou hear us and bless thy people this afternoon. For Jesus' sake, in Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.